This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Mark Rolfing covers the game of golf for NBC Sports and for Golf Channel. Honestly, he's one of our favorite people. It is a pleasure to welcome Mark Rolfing back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Mark.
And hello, John. It is so good just to be back, I promise you.
We'll get to how you're feeling in a little bit. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Arnold Palmer. You are at Bay Hill this weekend, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It didn't come as a surprise to anybody when it was announced earlier this week that Arnold would not hit that ceremonial first tee shot at the Masters. But when somebody actually said it out loud, how'd you feel?
You know, I was a little bit sad, but the more I thought about it, John, the more I realized, let's not make too big a deal about this. He still is going to be there. I could still see a scenario where maybe a year from now, you know, he's thinking about trying to hit the shot again. The fact of whether or not he actually hits a drive, to me, is inconsequential. He's 86 years old. We should treasure every moment we have with Arnold Palmer, and whether or not he hits a shot on that tee is inconsequential.
This may come as breaking news to a couple of listeners, but you played professional golf in the 70s. What was it like being a peer of Arnold Palmer?
I look back on it, and I think that I idolized Arnold Palmer back then, and little did I know that everything good that has happened to me through the game literally was because of Arnold Palmer. He was the common man's golfer. He brought golf to the masses, and he literally cleared the way, made the game popular, and cleared the way for a guy like me, who was not a star player, who was a common man kind of golfer, to actually become a television golf analyst. It was the upset of all time. You know, there was no David Faraday back then. There was no Gary McCord when I started my career. And I really attribute all of it to what Arnold Palmer did for the game, and little would I have known back then.
It's almost gotten too hard to put into words, Mark, just how popular a figure Arnold is, not only in the game of golf, but in the sports world. Can you think of anybody does anybody come close to being as popular as Arnold?
No, I don't think so. And really what's amazing about it, John, is that you go back 40 years or 50 years, Arnold Palmer was the most popular golfer in the world. And then now, at the age of 86, Arnold Palmer is still just about the most popular golfer in the world. It's just, you know, a tremendous amount about our game and how long a life you can have in the game, which is incredible. But obviously it says a lot, too, about Arnold Palmer and the staying power that he has had with the fans, and that's because he has treated them differently and so much more special than any other golfer ever.
That gets said a lot, Mark, and how does he do that? How does that manifest itself?
He takes his time. You know, he doesn't rush through anything. You watch him sign an autograph, and I remember him telling me this early on in my career. Don't ever sign something where the person can't read your name. If you're going to take the time to sign something, then take the time to sign your name properly. And you watch him sign his autograph even today. The handwriting is so legible. It's just incredible. But he paces himself, and he knows that it's going to take, you know, longer than it might for some other people to go through a crowd of people. But he's willing to do it. He embraces it, and he's always sort of enjoyed it. It hasn't been hard work for him ever, and I think that's what's given him staying power.
I I have always loved the way Ron Cyrak, our friend at Golf Digest, characterizes Arnold. Maybe not the best golfer that ever lived, but certainly the most impactful and important golfer that ever lived.
I think he is. Tiger Woods may have had a more dramatic impact on the growth of the game, but I'm not sure Tiger's impact on the growth of the popularity of the game was as important as it was during Arnold's time. Arnold has done so much for the game, and that's really when golf was growing up on television. And almost single-handedly, even as good as Jack Nicklaus was, that was something that Jack Nicklaus couldn't really take to the masses like Arnold Palmer could.
We're talking with Mark Rolfing from NBC Sports and Golf Channel here on the Augusta Golf Show. There has been some talk this week about the number of top-ranked players at Bay Hill. What are your thoughts on that? Obviously, I guess you'd like to see more of them there, but share some thoughts about that.
Well, you know, there's just the schedule this year is such an aberration. I really hope we don't ever in the world of golf have another year like we have this year, where you add the Olympics, which is, you know, almost a three-week stretch, and you put it in an already busy schedule in August, and it has a domino effect backwards on the entire schedule, and players just simply can't play a normal type schedule, and something has got to give. And so the summer has gotten so crammed and the majors are so close together that a lot of players are having to take a lot of downtime as early as March now, and I think that's kind of too bad. So I hope going forward, the schedule eases up a little bit, because this is a really, really tough year.
I heard you on Golf Channel earlier this week talking about the PGA Tour schedule, as you just did there, talking about you'd like to see more of an off season. You'd like to see a bigger break, wouldn't you, Mark?
I absolutely would. I think a break is critical, and that's you take a look at all the other major sports; they all have breaks. The NFL has a break, basketball has a break, baseball has a break, and those time off periods do a couple of things. One is it creates some pent up demand for the fans. When they don't have NFL football for a while. But more importantly, it gives the athletes a chance to heal up, both physically and mentally. They need to have time away from the game, and the golfers just do not anymore. This wraparound season, to me, which is not a particularly good idea, has really changed that dramatically. And then you take a look at the really short holiday break with the Tournament of Champions starting in Hawaii, literally over the holidays. It's just too much. There needs to be some downtime. And if we don't start creating it, the players are going to start creating their own off-season. And I think that would be a bad thing for a number of tournaments.
Jordan Spieth said that he's rethinking some of those early season decisions, especially when traveling to play overseas. But it's just so incredibly hard to turn down appearance fees, isn't it?
Well, I guess, but I mean, how
have
much
you,
money
have,
do you
Mark,
need?
Has anyone ever offered you an appearance fee to play?
I got offered a sleeve of Titleist one time to show up for a tournament, I think. Again, John, I think what happens is when you're tired or injured as an athlete, you tend to make questionable decisions. And I think, Jordan is tired. And even some of the decisions he made on the course last week in Tampa, which he is now second-guessing to himself and publicly talking about, the mistakes that both he and his caddy made. I mean, those, to me, are mistakes made by somebody who's just a little tired right now.
I know you're always excited about getting here the first full week of April, but with everything that's taken place since the last time we gathered here with Jordan, with Jason, how excited are you about this year's Masters?
Oh, I just am looking forward to it so much. There's no tournament in the world like the Masters. It's the most important tournament in golf, and it's just totally different from any other week. It's interesting. I talk a lot about tournaments that need to create their own personalities if they want to be successful. And sometimes I talk about a place like Phoenix that has now sort of manufactured a personality, but that worked. But the original personality for a tournament was the Masters, and it's one that they have never wavered from the beginning. And I've never seen a business grow like the Masters business has grown without compromising or really change the core of what they are. And that's why I love the Masters so much.
Can a tournament do that? I mean, you mentioned Phoenix. Can a tournament create its own personality, Mark?
I think only in certain places could you do that. You need a market that's absolutely ripe for that. I think it's hard to create a personality when you've got a dominant golf course, too. So, for example, the AT&T National Pro-Am's personality is based on Pebble Beach, the golf course. You tried to have it be anything other than something that focused on Pebble Beach and tried to create an atmosphere like a Phoenix, or if you tried to create a lead up like Houston is before the Masters, that would be a mistake. So there's only certain places where you can create a personality.
I would get pummeled if I didn't bring this up before letting you go. How are you? How do you feel? What's going on?
I feel great. I can't believe a year ago I was announcing golf with a tumor in the side of my head. It's just an absolute miracle. It was a very rare cancer. The diagnosis was pretty dire. And the fact that I somehow survived it was because I just had so much support, and had a pretty good attitude, and got the absolute best care and treatment I could ever get at MD Anderson in Houston. And it's just a miracle, and I'm going to take advantage of it every day for the rest of my life.
Good for you. Can't wait to see you in 3 weeks. Mark, thank you for taking the time to do this. Travel safe, my friend. I'll see you soon.
You got it, John. Take care.